Sorry, Kent. Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Having grown up with a name that is sort of common, it wasn't unusual for me to have another in my class with the same name. So it was always, which one of you is in trouble now? One of my close friends at seminary had the same name as me, and I guess we also kind of looked alike, because even to this day, I think that there were professors who didn't know that we were two different people. But that was good for me because he got better grades. That's the way it is with the Marys in our story today. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I can relate to the other Mary. Be that as it may, it's not surprising that the first thing that the angel says to Mary and the other Mary when they come to the tomb is, "Do not be afraid." It's the same thing angels often say when they show up, when they show themselves to people, or whisper in their ear, or appear in thunder and earthquake and blinding light. Apparently, the guards at the tomb didn't get the memo because they succumbed to their fright. The story says that they fall to the ground like dead men. But the angel cautions the women, "Do not be afraid." It's actually kind of hard to tell whether the caution is against fear of the earthquake and the rolling stone and the radiance of the appearance of the angel, or a preemptive caution about what they are about to see on the inside of that tomb, or more accurately, of course, what they're not going to see. Do not be afraid, dear women. Things are not as you believe them to be. Things have changed. The world will never be the same. Do not be afraid. The one whom you seek is not here. The one who has been crucified is no longer dead. Jesus is alive, and you can tell the whole world. As wonderful as that sounds, I think that if I was one of these women, I might want to go back to being afraid of the earthquake. It's a funny thing, fear. It's not something we want, necessarily, but it's something that we need. Fear keeps us from stepping out into traffic without looking both ways. Fear keeps our hand out of the cookie jar when mom's fixed a meal. Fear is supposed to keep people from getting too close at the bison and Yellowstone. We don't know how that's working out. The movie Inside Out is all about emotions. It tells the story of a young girl named Riley and the emotions in her head. And the emotions are animated by little people. There's joy and sadness, anger, disgust, and fear. And the point of the story is that these emotions need to learn to work together. You can see that very dynamic going on in the heads of the women as they leave the empty tomb. For despite the caution of the angel, a bit of their fear remains. Only now it's been mingled with joy. Disgust will show up when they eventually get to the male disciples and tell them about how they've seen Jesus, and the men don't believe them without going to see for themselves. But the emotions of that resurrection day are complex. For all the people who experience it, fear, astonishment, perplexity, doubt, joy, wonder. They are, after all, human, aren't they? And so are we. Emotions take us on a ride every day, even in our world, even in the everyday lives that we live. In the movie, the emotions in Riley's head operate at a command station, a control panel, if you will, where there's where they literally direct Riley's life. And the question is, who gets to control the control panel? I think we can all recognize that while there is much to be joyful in about our world today, there are also times, too many times, when anger and fear and sadness seem to have their hands on the control panel. It's not just an earthquake and a strange messenger in bright white clothes that elicits fear in us today, but social division and isolation and unwillingness for neighbors to communicate, and apathy, greed, and hatred. I know it's Easter, and the last thing you want me to talk about is the troubles of the world. I get that, and I promise I'm not going to belabor the point. Sort of. But in order to truly understand and experience the joy of Jesus' resurrection, in order to look into the tomb and see that the body of Jesus is not there, in order to meet Jesus on the road and take hold of his feet and worship him, we must first hear the words of the angel and Jesus himself when they say to us, "Do not be afraid." If the glory of the resurrection is to do anything for us and to us, it will be to answer our fears and our grief that exists because we live with the things in this world that in fact scare us out of our very wits and send us curling up into a ball in the corner of our own upper room. Perhaps the most underrated proclamation of faith is the "Do not be afraid" by the angel to those women all those years ago. And not just to them, over and over and over again throughout Scripture, among all of the people of God that God has spoken to us to over the years, the message is the same. Do not be afraid. The message is the same because it's the same fear and grief and hatred and greed and oppression and discrimination and glorification of war and kids getting shot in schools, politicians caring more about drag shows than homeless people dying in our streets. We can gather together here today, if only once or twice a year, and repeat the words, "Christ is risen," and sing "Joy to the World," and maybe that pushes our fears away for at least a little while, until we pick up the newspaper or turn the TV on again later today. But if the power of the resurrected Christ and the fear that it has dispelled in our lives doesn't get passed along to those in our world who remain trapped in prisons of this world's wanton disregard for peace and justice, then we are worthless, as worthless as the guards at the tomb who fall to the ground like dead men. "Don't be afraid," the angel says to Mary and the other Mary, the first blessed women to experience the life that God has given through the resurrection. "Do not be afraid to go and tell the others, and then tell the whole world that God is not dead, that God's love has not been defeated by the powers of hate and grief. Go and tell the world that Christ is alive and that Christ holds his hands on the key to joy and hope and salvation, even in the midst of fear." This gathering on Easter Sunday morning, or even gathering in this place once a week, cannot be the end of our encounter with Jesus. Even Jesus says to the women, "Do not hold on to me. Don't let your worship be just another expression of fear, but go. Go and tell the others how and where and when they will see me." You know, just as an aside, I think we have a couple of minutes. I learned something new recently. My smart friend in seminary, who has the same name as me, probably figured out it a long time ago. Anyway, I noticed something about the story of Jesus that I had not known previously. I hadn't noticed it previously. When Jesus tells the women to go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me, they do that. And in the very next scene in Matthew's gospel, Jesus meets up with them on a mountain in Galilee, just like he said. Jesus gives them the Great Commission, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing and teaching everyone about everything that I've taught you. And then Jesus says, I am with you always. And the part that I just recently noticed is that there's no ascension in Matthew's version of the story. Jesus doesn't go up into heaven. It's not that that doesn't happen, but Luke tells us about that part of the story. Matthew, it seems, wants us to imagine that Jesus never leaves the disciples or the world. He never goes into heaven or anywhere else away from them, but he's always with us, right here, forever. It's another way of Jesus assuring us, do not be afraid. I will be with you as you take on the fears and troubles of this world, as you encounter the hatred and war and violence and all the rest. Our task this Easter morning and into the rest of our lives is to keep going. Keep going and doing that work that the angel and Jesus first gave to those women and those disciples to do. Mix your fear with your joy that Jesus is alive and go. Do the blessed work of sharing the message. Today we do proclaim with all joy and exuberance, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now don't be afraid, but there's work to be done. I'll see you out there.